talk right now, man. It's Thursday night. It's time to talk about Jesus.
Looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
Woo! Thursday night.
Michael was having some fun.
What are you talking about?
Having some fun with a new intro.
Having some fun with a new intro.
Yes.
Playing in the studio, having some fun. Welcome to Christian Polita Talk, everybody. It has been a whirlwind of news this week, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and it's been very hot. Very, very hot.
It has been quite warm.
Yes, I feel like I've been walking on the surface of the sun all day.
Might as well be walking on the sun.
Yes.
Ah, I understand completely. You got something to start us off with tonight?
You know that I do.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Well, hello again.
Proceed.
Tonight's devotional is called The Work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. That's from John 6:29. Skeptics often accuse God of hiding himself. In one way, they are right. He hides himself from the proud heart. He resists them. However, the atheist has no excuse, when it comes to believing in the existence of God, because he has revealed himself through the genius of his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. That's from Psalm 19:1-2. Creation testifies to the existence of a creator, so he hasn't hidden himself in that respect. When Jesus speaks of finding him, he is talking about finding a relationship with him. That relationship begins through repentance and faith of the one God sent to suffer for the sin of the world. When we trust in the Son, we are doing the work of God, so if anyone is hiding, it's the sinner who, like Adam, is hiding from him because of his guilt. The soul search tonight is, am I doing the work of God? Do I fully believe in him who God sent? Is that my message to the world? And the prayer is, Father, I want to do your work.
Very good.
Sorry about that. I got a little tongue-tied there.
Yeah, really. So tonight, we're going to start a little two-week talk about.
You like these twofers?
I do. I like twofers, man. Two in a row. Tonight we're going to do part one on the purpose of prayer. And going back through, you know, old articles and things, I found a really, really interesting survey that was done in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an article from Newsweek. Okay. And BeliefNet, and they polled 1,004 Americans. I know it's kind of an odd number, but they polled 1,004 Americans about what they believe and how they practice their faith. And one of the questions was, what do you think is the most important purpose of prayer? And their responses were kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
27% of people said to seek God's guidance. Good answer. 23% of people said to thank God. Good answer.
I did that for the rain today.
19% said to be close to God or the divine. I don't get the or the divine. 13% said to help others, like they're praying for other people. 9% were praying to improve a person's life. There's like 4% that's in another category. And 5% of people just said they didn't even know what the purpose of prayer was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, the above answers, you know, these answers right here suggest there are many reasons to pray.
Yes.
So we're going to dive into that a little bit tonight. And, but before we do that, wow, let's talk about some of this news.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wow, where to begin? You know, I don't understand. It seems to be that there's a whole nother thing of, I never said that that way going on right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's a very interesting article, and the byline is kicking the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then the oil giants are hitting back after Biden and his admin, they threatened the energy producers.
Mm-hmm.
They said that, you know, he went on to not in so many words say yesterday that, you know, the oil producers should be ramping up production. This shouldn't be happening in America. And that they have been, you know, just raising prices to kind of profit, and that there's something that they should be able to do, and, you know, on and on and on. And I'm like, number one, what's he thinking? Did he forget what he did? Number two thing is that they're going around telling them that they need to ramp up oil production and start drilling on some of these leased lands, or they're going to take the leases away.
Stay.
The Biden admin.
Gotcha.
What's really interesting is that on the one hand, they've been all along shutting down things and changing things. And now they're saying, well, why can't you produce more gas? Why can't you refine more? Because part of the legislations that have been made so difficult by the Biden administration has caused a lot of the refiners to scale back and to shut down their refining operations to refine other products.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say they're probably unemployed.
And, you know, they've pushed this point, and now it's like they want to bow their back up and say, look what you caused. And yet they want to sit there and say that, and then they want to blame Putin, and then they want to blame COVID, and then they want, it's just a blame game.
I don't even understand how we're blaming Putin or how anybody's blaming Putin for this one. I mean, well, it seems like somebody named Joe cut off the XL pipeline, among other things.
Well, they've also been spreading another kind of, well, it's not kind of, it is untrue for a lot of purposes. They're saying that the inflation rate in the U.S. is not as high as everywhere else in the world. And I think the closest people to us are like Germany, but they're only at like 7%. I mean, even France is at 5%, but we're over 8.5%.
What are we, third world, where we have a dictator in office? Let's talk about that.
I mean, it's ridiculous for them to sit here and blame all of these things. And on the other hand, the other day wanted to go on and talk about how well the stock market's doing.
And the economy.
And the economy. How? Who? Did we get left out? I don't know.
I think maybe I fell and bumped my head and I've been unconscious for 2 years.
Well, you know, it is just interesting that all of this is going on. There's just so many of this stuff, and they're now bringing up the January 6th committee and all whatever. These things, because there needs to be a boogeyman.
Well, wouldn't that be Nancy Pelosi?
No, it would be, the boogeyman would be whatever topic they can bring up to try to push to take people's attention off of one thing and push something else another way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they know that midterms are coming up and it's not looking good for them. and now they're all the things that they've done. But hello, unless you've been asleep since 2020, you should know what's going on. And if they're trying to distract people from talking about these things, it's not working, because I find myself in different circles with people who don't know each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somehow this topic always manages to come up. I mean, usually it's about gas, because somebody, you know, just filled their tank and it cost them $100 or, you know, something like that. And people have not forgotten.
Well, here's a really, really interesting fact that they are failing to put out there about electric vehicles. Anyone who has bought an electric vehicle has been charged a special tax on top of their other taxes, mm-hmm. because they're not buying gas, or they're not paying the regular fuel taxes and road use tax and all these other things that are supposed to be from gas. And what they're not telling people is number one, the electrical grid not being astute enough in some neighborhoods to handle every home with a electric vehicle. The other part of this is that they're not telling people that, well, since you're not using gas, you know, there's many states talking about implementing a per mile charge on an annual basis for people that have these electric vehicles.
Oh, that's not going to go over well.
It is another avenue of a moneymaker. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are the facts, and these are the things, and not to mention that the resources for these batteries for lithium,
right,
are being controlled by the Asians.
Right.
And, you know, and they're over in Saudi Arabia and all these other things. And while they want to keep talking about how bad a pipeline is for the environment, you know, they've actually did studies, and in areas where there has been a pipeline running, like through the wilderness, through Alaska, you know, through the pipeline areas, it has actually attracted animals to the area, because those lines are heated to keep the oil running and flowing.
If I was a little bunny foo-foo, I'd be snuggled up on it.
So you're talking about a swath of land where there's a pipeline running. Take a look. Look up what a lithium mine looks like.
Not only that, but, you know, there's not a good way to dispose of these things.
There's not.
I mean, you can't destroy them.
Nope.
You can't recycle them. They're just, what are they going to do? Launch it into space?
I don't know, but, you know, there have been so many little, I don't want to say memes, but there have been so many comments that have been made that will probably turn into memes or gaffes, but
I'm sure.
You know, there was one that really struck me as odd, and I don't know why he would come out and say this other than it's a political move to invoke some type of feeling or emotion from people to get them to vote.
Right. Emotional response.
He said that, you know, these ultra MAGA Republicans are going after said they were going after, you know, their rights, and saying, and he even said they're going after Mickey Mouse, talking about DeSantis and what he did and why he did what he did and about the children. And he said, you know, they're trying to take away your right for your children to have a sex change and da 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 da. And it's about the government. People don't realize that the more they get involved in this, they're giving the government the right to tell you what you can do with your own children.
Yep.
And, you know, I know the old adage, it takes a village, but it doesn't take the government.
It doesn't take a village of idiots.
Well, you know, there have been so many of these things said, and even with all that being said, I think it's important to realize that even though we know evidence is mounting that, you know, many of these governments' program fail to accomplish all their, you know, advocates have promised, and, you know, while crime dipped for a little while, the statistics are climbing again, and confidence in the institution of government has sagged somewhat. And some people wonder whether government has bitten off more than they can chew. And, you know, all of these things, we must remember that there are biblical verses of what Christians, how Christians should act with government, basically.
Well, they need to be put back in their place because they have grown beyond the parameters that were originally set for them. All three branches have started overstepping their boundaries.
And it has, and it's become, I don't want to say, it's not about being comical. It's about, you know, they need to realize, and the leaders need to realize what the Bible even says about governing authorities. And just to share a little bit, I know we went through the book of Romans a while back, but when you read chapter 13, it's clear that the Apostle Paul expects us to obey those who are in authority over, you know, who are in authority over, since whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment, from Romans 13:2. And it says, you know, see those who are in charge and authority for what they are. You know, God has ordained everything in this world, and even the people that are in government, and government exists. Everything exists because of God. And, you know, God's servant, you know, for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. That's the way government should be looked at. But, you know, things have changed, you know, a lot over 2,000 years.
Yeah. And, you know, the way that I think about it is kind of like a tug of war. Like you've got a rope that has one side that the American people are on and they're tugging.
Mm-hmm.
And then it splits off into three different ropes. And you've got your legislative branch, you've got your executive branch, and you've got your judicial branch.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those are tugging against it. And yet here we are, just one group trying to pull it back.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing, is until we have people that are in office that can really stand up to that and push through what we would want.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's doing that, because I think some people, when they first start in a government position, like a representative or senator, I think they come in with like high hopes to do the good thing,
mm-hmm.
but somehow it always ends up sort of not happening.
Definitely. You know, God himself, you know, Jesus, like from Romans 13:7, it says, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and to honor whom honor is owed. And this is exactly what Jesus taught when the Pharisees joined with their natural enemies, the Herodians, because they had the exact same enemy, and that was Jesus Christ. So they tried to trick him in Matthew. And, you know, by asking him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And when they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away, or, you know, they just plainly gave up on it. But, you know, we should be respectful as much as, you know, we need to be respectful. But, you know, I'm not saying to run around here and call everybody in politics, you know, bad names, or call them an idiot or anything else. You know, honor and reverence, but there has to be a time that they should also be honorable and reverent to you as well. And, you know, a lot of that has been pushed away. So it gets really hard. You know, we just need to realize that there's no power that is put in place today that has not been allowed by God. And as such, he will use them for his purposes, and nothing can stop what he has already decreed from before the time began. So, you know, us as Christians, we're commanded to obey those in authority over us, but only if it doesn't break one of God's laws. So for those of you who refuse to repent and believe, Paul wrote it, you know, because of your hard work and impotent heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself on a day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. So we need to remember that. I mean, I know it's hard and it's difficult, all these stories and everything that gets said and everything that comes out, but it's really difficult. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
What other kind of interesting stories have you heard this week?
Well, I don't know that I've heard anything exceptionally interesting. But, you know, there has been a lot of, like I mentioned earlier, you know, I've been in a lot of conversations with people recently, and there are lots of things that are still very hot button topics. Like, even though school is out here in the United States, you know, there are teachers that are actually leaving the field, you know, because they're scared. They're tired of putting up with, you know, the possibility of a school shooting and their safety, their students' safety, just, you know, so many things.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's been a hot button conversation. Of course, gas prices, because today we actually worked with a group of students and we went on an outing to a local, very small airport. And I was having a conversation with the guy that runs everything there. And he was telling me that, you know, fuel for charter flights, or if you're taking flying lessons or anything like that, that their gas to put in the plane is like $6.85 a gallon. And so we were talking about how, you know, that winds up looking for truckers and other people that get goods places.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, I mean, he's very disgruntled, as most people would be, because the more that people have to change the prices of things, the less people are going to want to deal with it. And it's just going to get to that, be that like pull and tug thing where, you know, you're not going to get things for the price that you got them for, because somebody's got to absorb the cost, and that winds up being the consumer.
Definitely.
And, you know, that's really been a lot of the conversation, really is those two things, because I think those are things that are kind of in our face. You know, the possibilities of school shootings and things like that are not as random as they used to be. And that's a very unfortunate thing. And that's very scary for parents, you know, and students and teachers and so on. But, you know, that's a very scary prospect. And the other thing is, you know, I've heard that gas prices may reach $8 before the end of the summer.
And, you know, that's a little bit about what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And I didn't really fill in a lot of the blanks on some of those things that were said about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Americans are struggling right now everywhere. Skyrocketed inflation. Federal Reserve is attempting to bring prices down. And they issued a historic hike on Wednesday, 0.75%. So we're over 8.5%. And it's the largest rate increase in nearly 30 years.
Well, I'm waiting for the housing market to pop.
Yep. Well, they say the move is intended to slow down the economy, but it also means America, we know we're paying more to borrow money. The increase affects credit cards, car loans, mortgage rates. And so the Fed pursues ongoing rate hikes to bring down the record high inflation, but it's going to deliver something new, a new blow to people who may need to borrow money. Credit card average APR is up over 20% for the first time. Mortgage loans, which were around 3% at the beginning of the year, are now above 6%. You know, and that pushes some payments like exponentially higher.
Absolutely.
For the people. You know, like I said earlier, Biden is blaming the oil companies. And fuel is the number one issue for most people. And everything is going up except for our paychecks.
That's right.
We all know that.
That's right.
And Biden is blaming the war in Russia and accusing U.S. oil companies of causing higher gas prices. So the letter he sent was to seven oil executives, and he threatened to invoke emergency powers if they don't increase production.
Oh, please don't let that man do anything.
His quote unquote that he told them, your companies need to work with my administration to bring forward concrete near-term solutions that address the crisis.
Well, as the little man at the airport
you
said today.
You started the crisis.
Yeah. As little man said at the airport today, he was like, oh, I got a solution. I'm like, oh, I know you do. So do I.
Well, I haven't heard a lot from this new, what's her name? Karine Jean-Pierre, his new White House press secretary.
Oh, goodness. She must not be circling back. I don't know.
Well, she said that oil and gas companies should be quote unquote patriots and make more oil. She accused them of using Russia's war as an excuse or as a reason not to put not put out production.
See, I think there must be like a serious tornado over over Washington DC because the spin they're trying to put on stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah, and it is. It's always about I didn't do that.
No, look at this. Look and at as this. The sticker says, I did that.
Well, I remember when he first came in, he says, everything stops right here with me. I'm in charge.
Oh, yeah.
You remember when he said that? We could probably find audio of that.
There's probably a lot of things we could find audio on.
But he would say, I never said that.
Be like, oh, did someone have their hand up your jacket doing your little puppeteer yeah. thing?
Well, you know, it's very disheartening. It's very troubling. It's got a lot of people making a lot of hard decisions. Do I eat this week or do I put gas in my car
yeah.
to go to work?
And you know, that is another topic that came up that mm-hmm. I was discussing since I work in workforce development.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about that very thing and the gas prices and how's that going to affect workforce development. And of course, you know, for those people that have the option to work from home, that is chances are that is exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be like a return to, you know, being in your house.
Yep.
Which is kind of what they want. You know, I mean, I think that's kind of what the government wants.
They want people to be suppressed.
They want everybody to be scared.
So and, people will be depressed.
Yeah.
And people will be on edge.
And threatening like yeah. food shortages yeah. and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Not the way you really want to treat people.
It's not.
But, you know, we were talking about that, and there are people that cannot work from home. They have to work in the factories. They have to work in, you know, production jobs and things like that. So, I mean, that doesn't really, it's not the cure-all for everyone, but those people still have to drive to work. They yep. still have to drive home. And it's going to make people more on edge about having to spend that kind of money to go to work if they're not getting anything out of the job.
Definitely. Yeah. This is something we could go on for hours and hours and hours about.
But we won't.
But, you know, we could. And well, we're in 30 minutes already in the show.
Well, dang.
So let's move on into our learning portion of tonight.
Yeah, see, we need like a segue music right there.
Yeah, I need to work on a little. need to let the
like some Kenny G or something.
Yeah. So, you know, I said at the beginning where we're going to talk about the purpose of prayer tonight, and this is going to be the first part of a two-parter. So, as you said, I like the twofers.
Twofers.
So, let's talk about a little bit about the purpose of prayer. And one way to remember the purpose of prayer is with an acronym. And the acronym is ACTS, like the book of Acts. And if you think the A stands for adoration, expressing adoration, God is certainly worthy of our praise, our adoration. And while we can praise God in song, we can more importantly also praise God in prayer. and examples of adoration and prayers, like when Paul prayed for the Ephesians, he took time to praise God in Ephesians 3:14-21. And David provided an example of offering adoration and praise in 1 Corinthians 29:10-13. So expressing adoration was not one of the responses of the survey at the beginning of the show, but it certainly is important purpose of prayer. And then continuing with our acronym ACTS, we can talk about what C stands for. C stands for confession, confessing our sins. There's mercy to be found in confessing one's sins from Proverbs 28:13. And the Christian enjoys cleansing of sin by the blood of Jesus from 1 John 1:7-10. So some examples of confessing sins will be Jesus provided an example in the parable of the Pharisees and the publican in Luke 18:10-14. And again, David provided an example also with his confession of sin in Psalms 51:1-13. So obtaining forgiveness by confessing sin is a blessing now enjoyed only through Christ, from John 14:6, is once we have put on Christ, prayer is crucial to remaining forgiven. So let's talk about what the T stands for in the acronym ACTS. The T stands for Thanksgiving, offering Thanksgiving, not the turkey on the table in November. But being thankful is emphasized repeatedly in exhortations to pray in Ephesians 5:20, in Colossians 4:2, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. And here's something to remember too. The antidote to anxiety is to pray for everything with thanksgiving, from Philippians 4:6. So some examples of offering thanksgiving is Christ set an example of thanksgiving himself in Matthew 11:25. 26:27, John 6:11, John 11:41. And Daniel also had the custom to thank God 3 times a day. Get into the book of Daniel, Daniel 6:10. We cannot discount the importance of thanksgiving in our prayers, especially if we expect God to answer us as we make requests for future blessings. This leads to the final letter in our acronym of ACTS, which is S. S stands for supplication. Making supplication, we are encouraged to let our requests be known to God from Philippians 4:6, and we are commanded to make supplications for all men from 1 Timothy 2:1-2. So some examples of making supplication are from the widows. Real widows are known for their supplications day and night, from 1 Timothy 5:5. And Solomon made supplication at the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings 8:28-29. And Jesus himself made supplications as he was crucified. Stephen also had supplications as he was being stoned. So Jesus made it in Luke 23:34, and Stephen in the book of Acts 7:59-60. So the conclusion on the acronym of ACTS is, with the aid of the simple acronym ACTS, we should never forget the purpose of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. It's good to understand prayer's purpose, but we also need to appreciate the power of prayer. We need to appreciate even having the privilege of prayer. We need to understand the principles of prayer. We need to manifest the persistence of prayer and engage in the practice of prayer. So let's talk about the power of prayer. You know, Jesus anticipated that people would become slack in their prayers, telling the parable of the persistent widow, that people might always pray in Luke 18:1-7. So wondering if he would find faith on earth, you know, people praying when he returned, in the book of Luke 18:8. So Paul himself frequently exhorted Christians to be diligent in their prayers, praying always with all prayer and supplication from Ephesians 6:18. So we can continue earnest prayer and being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Again, there's thanksgiving from Colossians 4:2, and we should be praying without ceasing. So if we become slack in our prayers, might that be an indication that we do not appreciate the power of prayer? Have we forgotten what a privilege it is to pray? So let's consider some of these examples of the power of prayer. There's forgiveness from God. The Christians can find themselves, can find forgiveness through the blood of Christ from 1 John 1:7 through 10. Thus, erring Christians is told to repent and pray from Acts 8:22. So don't you want the assurance of knowing that your sins are forgiven? The next thing we need to know, there's peace from God. The antidote to anxiety is to pray. You heard me say that earlier from Philippians 4:6. The Christian will find their hearts and minds guarded by the peace of God. That also comes from Philippians 4:7. So don't you want the peace of mind and heart that surpasses understanding? We also need to know that there is strength from God in prayer. Paul prayed that the Ephesians might be strengthened in the inner man from Ephesians 3:14 through 16 and 20. So when we need to be strong, Christians can likewise pray for themselves. So don't you want the power that is beyond our comprehension? We need to know that there's opportunity from God in prayer. Paul realized that God provided him opportunity to teach others in 1 Corinthians 3:5. And he knew that the Lord often opened doors for such opportunities in 1 Corinthians 16:9 and 2 Corinthians 2:12. He therefore requested prayer that such opportunities would continue in Colossians 4:3. So don't you want the Lord to give you the opportunity to lead others to Christ? We also need to remember that in prayer that there is boldness from God. When the apostles needed boldness, they prayed and God delivered. That was from the books of Acts 4:23 through 31. And when Paul needed boldness, he asked for prayers in his behalf. In Ephesians 6:19 and 20. So that leads the question, don't you want that boldness when you speak to others about Christ? We need to know there's wisdom from God in prayer. Wisdom is not knowledge, but insight that makes the best use of the knowledge one has. The Christian is promised wisdom through prayer without doubt from James 1:5 through 8. So don't you want the wisdom that comes from above? There is healing from God in prayer. Those who are sick should ask elders to pray for them from James 5:14 and 15. And for those who have sinned should confess, and then we should pray for one another from James 5:16. So don't you want the aid of God whenever you're in need of physical or spiritual healing? In prayer, there's tranquility from God. The scriptures proclaim God has ultimate control over the nations from Daniel 4:17 and Romans 13:1 through 7. Thus, we are commanded to pray for our rulers that we may lead a quiet, tranquil, and peaceful life. Don't you want to live in peace and tranquility and for others too as well? So in talking about this, the power of prayer can indeed be a blessing. The one who prays in faith. For those who, prayers are offered. There's help in the time of need from God. We have a wonderful high priest who understands our problems from Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. Thus, we can at any time approach God boldly in prayer to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need from Hebrews 4, 16. So don't you want that mercy and grace whenever needed for yourself and for others? Indeed, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man from James 5:16, it avails much. It can accomplish much. It has great power, and it is powerful and effective. So if such is true of one righteous man, how about the prayers of many righteous? The next question is, do we believe in the power of prayer? Then let us always pray. Let us continue earnestly in prayer. And yes, let's pray and pray without ceasing from 1 Timothy 5:17. So let's talk a little bit about the privilege of prayer. You know, in the power of prayer, we saw where prayer can provide forgiveness from God and peace from God and strength from God and wisdom from God, boldness from God, opportunities from God, healing from God, and tranquility from God. Yet the privilege of prayer is not available to all who pray. For some, their prayers will be an abomination to God. Their prayers will fall on deaf ears. Their prayers will be hindered. Their prayers will not be answered favorably. We might be praying people, even pray fervently, but we do not have the right to pray to expect God to heed us when we pray. So take note of this, for whom prayer is not a privilege. Those who will not heed God's word, those who turn their ears from the law, their prayers are an abomination. Proverbs 28:9. And such is the case for those who will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. So if we do not listen to God, why should he listen to us? Those whose sins separate them from God, prayer is not a privilege. Sins can separate one from God, so he will not hear. Isaiah 59:1-2. Such is the condition of those who will not seek God's forgiveness from Romans 6:23. So if we reject God's forgiveness of sins, can we expect him to listen to us? The next way it's not a privilege is those who fail to treat others justly, who fail to consider the poor from Psalms 41:1-3. Those who fail to treat their wives as they should from Malachi 2:13-14 and 1 Peter 3:7. Those who fail to make things right with those they have offended from Matthew 5:23-24. And who fail to forgive those who have sinned against them from Matthew 18:21-35. The point here is clear. If we do not treat others justly, how can we hope to receive God's mercy? The next one is those who pray without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. And asking with doubt in our hearts ensures failure. From James 1:5-8. Again here, simple answer. If we doubt God's existence and ability to provide, why should God answer us? Thus, the privilege of prayer is not extended to everyone. It is a blessing graciously bestowed on those whose hearts are in proper condition. So then we could consider for whom prayer is a privilege: the sinner seeking truth and righteousness. This one we learn from the example of Cornelius. He was a good man, but still in need of salvation from Acts 10, 1 and 2, and Acts 11, 14. His prayers and, you know, and psalms have been noticed by God in Acts 10, 4 and 31. Thus God saw to it that he had an opportunity to hear the words whereby he could be saved, the gospel of Christ from Acts 11, 14. So note well, he was not saved by praying per se. He needed to hear the words by which he could be saved from Acts 11, 14. The gospel of Christ, which is God's power to salvation from Romans 1, 16. And just as Saul of Tarsus was still in his sins despite of praying from Acts 9:11 and 22:16. Yet God heard the prayer of a sinner like Cornelius, who was hungered and thirsting for righteousness, who was asking and seeking and knocking, providing an opportunity to one day hear and obey the gospel of Christ. For a sinner seeking truth and righteousness, such prayers will be heard. So let's talk about the Christian with Jesus as their high priest. Jesus has become our high priest. He is now a merciful and faithful high priest, able to aid his brethren, Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. Making it possible to approach God's throne boldly from Hebrews again, 4, 14 through 16. And able to make the uttermost, since he ever lives, to intercede. Jesus has now become our advocate. He's our advocate and our mediator. Our advocate with the Father from 1 John 2:1, and the one mediator between God and man from 1 Timothy 2:5, who makes intercession for us at the right hand of God from Romans 8:34. So such is the blessing of those who have put on Christ in baptism and become children of God through faith. Galatians 3:26 and 27. So what we must learn from all this is that the ears of the Lord are open to prayers of the righteous from 1 Peter 3:12. And we must submit to the righteousness of God offering Christ from Romans 10:1 through 4. And we must respond to the gospel of Christ again from Romans 1:16 and 17. So if we desire the privilege of prayer, then we must be either a faithful child of God through the obedience to Jesus Christ, a sinner with a good, noble heart, seeking after truth and righteousness, and a sinner hungering and thirsting for righteousness will be filled. How much more the child of God, when he or she experiences the privilege of prayer in all of its fullness. So let's talk a little bit about the principles of prayer. In the privilege of prayer, we saw that few truly benefited from prayer. Children of God who became such through obedience to Jesus Christ, and sinners seeking after truth and righteousness who will be heard, and that God will provide them opportunity to hear and obey the truth. The full benefit of prayer comes only as the principles of prayer are observed. Principles laid down by Jesus and his inspired apostles. Principles that determine the final outcomes of our prayers. what are the principles of, you know, of prayer that must govern our praying? First of all, we must pray in faith. Prayer requires faith. And all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive, in Matthew 21, 22. And otherwise, prayer will not be answered. We must have faith in God, that He is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11, 6. Such faith comes from the Word of God, from Romans 10, 17. And with the aid of His Word, we can have the kind of faith that pleases God and ensures, you know, an answer to our prayers. We must pray with humility. Humility before God, a virtue highly valued by God, written about in Isaiah 57, 15 and 66, 1 and 2. The Lord is near and saves those with contrite spirits. Psalms 34, 18. And He gives grace to the humble, from Proverbs 3, 34. We need humility in prayer, exemplified in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector from Luke 18, 9 and 14. Humility leads to exaltation by God from Luke 18, 14 and James 4, 10. So with faith and humility before God, we are prepared to pray with the proper disposition. We must pray in harmony with God's will. God's will in our prayers. Prayers are answered favorably if we ask according to His will, 1 John 5:14. And prayer is more concerned with our will than God's will or turned down, James 4:3. His will be done. So Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, 9 and 10. So He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22, 42. And such praying made easier when our will is to do God's will from John 4, 34. So with faith in God and humility towards Him, we will gladly yield to His will and His will for us. We must pray with thanksgiving. There we go, hearing about thanksgiving again. Prayer and thanksgiving, giving thanks always for all things to God, Ephesians 5:10. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, from Philippians 4:6. And prayer, being vigilant in it, with thanksgiving, from Colossians 4:2. And pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. We need the attitude of gratitude. God's people are always to be thankful. Psalms 104, Colossians 3:15. In gratitude, an indication of apostasy. Romans 1:21 and 2 Timothy 3, 3:2. So do we seriously think that God will help us with our present burdens if we don't take the time to thank Him for past blessings? And finally, another principle of prayer is that we must pray in the name of Jesus. So when we talk about praying in the name of Jesus, taught by Jesus Himself to the disciples, from the book of John 14, 13 and 14, John 16, 23. And it was also commanded by Paul to the Christians at Ephesus from Ephesians 5, 20. So the name of Jesus in prayer means more than simply adding in Jesus' name at the end of our prayers. We acknowledge Jesus as, you know, the only way by which we can approach God, from John 14:6. And we recognize him as our high priest who intercedes for us in Hebrews 7:24 and 25 and John 14:13. So in talking about the principles of prayer in summary, we have examined that these are: we must pray in faith. We must pray with humility. We must pray in harmony with the will of God. And we must pray with thanksgiving. Must pray in the name of Jesus. And we cannot overestimate the value of the Word of God in regards to these principles. Faith comes from the Word of God. Humility is learned by reading the Word of God. Knowing the will of God is impossible without the Word of God. Thanksgiving is made easier when we read of our blessings in the Word of God. And the importance of having Jesus as our high priest is revealed in the Word of God. So with the Word of God to guide us and aid us in observing the principles of prayer, you know, we are better equipped to make prayer a truly meaningful and beneficial experience in our lives. But there's yet another principle of prayer, which is persistence, that we should give consideration of. And in persistence, that's where we're going to pick up on next week. We're going to talk about the, you know, continuing these principles of prayer and talk about persistence at the beginning of our next episode and the next show. You got any thoughts on any of this?
Yes, it always makes me think.
Makes you think.
Yes.
That's it. That's what it's made for. So in learning to pray and praying, we also need to remember that it's all about your relationship with Christ. It's all about what you can do to get to that next level. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you know, it's you need to be willing to admit you're a sinner. You need to be willing to turn from that sin, and that's what repent means. And you must believe that Jesus Christ died for you, and he was buried and rose again from the dead to pay the price for that sin. And you must pray to invite Jesus into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that before, you know, you don't have to be in a room full of people. You don't have to have a preacher do it for you. You can simply say this prayer out loud. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent in turning from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you know, get yourself a Bible, start reading, start getting plugged in, get involved in a good Bible-based church. Start talking to like-minded Christians. Get involved in a small group. Start learning how to pray. Start talking to God. Start praying for those around you. Start praying for government. Start praying for stuff that's going on in this country and many, many other countries around the world. Everybody needs prayer. You got any thoughts over there?
No.
Well, like always every week, we appreciate the time that you spend with us. You know, if you want to reach out to us, if you got something that you want to hear on the show, a prayer request, there's a little commercial here at the end that you can send us an email. Don't forget our website, christianpolititalk.com. We're trying to update that with new stories. Also new topics that will be heard next week coming up. So don't forget, next week we're going to come back for part two of The Purpose of Prayer. We really appreciate you joining us. Hope you have a blessed rest of your week. Remember to stay safe out here in all this heat. Drink plenty of water. I know we are. It's been really hot.
I'm pretty sure I got like heat stroke today.
Yeah, it's been really, really hot. It's been hot all over. You know, we got floods going on around, you know, the Colorado River and the Yellowstone.
But you know, I prayed for the rain today. I saw it coming and I was like, oh, please, please rain, please rain. And then it started sprinkling. I was like, thank you, Lord. Cool it off.
Yeah. Did a little bit. Well, we appreciate you joining us. Hope you come back and join us next week. Hope everybody has a great rest of your week.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolititalk@gmail.com. Also, don't forget our website, ChristianPolititalk.com. We appreciate you joining us and hope you have a blessed week.
Traded all my dark for the light. Traded all my blindness for sight. Traded all my pain for the gain. Got a key to the gate and a seat at your table, yeah. I look up and I can see you got me where I wanna be. Every single part of me becoming something heavenly. You make me brand new. It's like I'm rising up from the water, living in the light you call me into. Every day's a new beginning. My heart's like a church choir singing, hallelujah. Said goodbye to all of my stains. Like my soul got a fresh coat of paint. And I know I won't be the same. Won't go back again, no, never, no way. I look up and I can see you got me where I wanna be. Every day you're working and you're doing something good in me. Ooh. You make me brand new. It's like I'm rising up from the water. Living in the light. You call me into. Every day's a new beginning. My heart's like a church.